Luke chapter number 10. We're going to read verses 17 through 21. Luke 10, 17 through 21. The Bible says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Let's pray this evening. Lord, we are very grateful to be back at Liberty Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Pineda and all the great folks here. We love them. And now, Lord, as we open your word, and Lord, we can trust that the King James Bible is your word. We thank you for that. But now, Father, we pray that the saints would be edified, God's word would be magnified, and Jesus Christ would be glorified. In that spirit, God, please take away any annoyances, irritations, any distractions, frustrations from us, so we can listen what the Spirit has to say to the churches tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, and for his sake we ask it. Amen. God bless you, church. You may be seated. So the Lord Jesus Christ sent out his 70 followers. He sent them out, and they would preach, "The kingdom of God is near you. Repent." They would proclaim, "The Messiah is coming." And so they went to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. They went out to the villages and to the towns of Israel. They went out to the harvest field of souls of their day. Amen. And as they would preach, people would come that needed healing, that needed help, that needed deliverance. And the 70 performed great miracles. If you look at verse number 17, it says, "Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Wow, that's a mighty miracle right there. Amen. Can you imagine that? And in verse number 18, Jesus acknowledges that statement by the 70, and he says, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." In other words, what Jesus is saying is, yeah, I saw what you guys did. Every time you got victory over someone that was delivered from an infirmity or from an addiction, or when souls were saved, when I saw that, Satan was dethroned. And by the way, that's what happens. When a soul is saved, Satan is dethroned from that person's heart and life. Isn't that a blessing right there? But this is not just a metaphorical statement. This is a literal statement. We're not going to go there, but if you jot it down, Revelation 12, verses 7 through 10, gives a little bit of more detail about that statement, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Powerful statement. But although the enemy is cast down, he is not soon discouraged. You know what? We need to be kind of like the enemy in that regard. Amen? Although the devil is knocked down, he's not soon discouraged. Amen. That encourages me. Although I'm knocked down, I should not be discouraged. Just keep on going. Now, Jesus, knowing this, knowing that the enemy, he's cast down whenever there's a victory, when someone gets a victory over something, and when these miracles were performed, Satan is dethroned. But Jesus encourages his followers, the 70 in verse number 19, and he says, they will tread over serpents and scorpions. Interesting terminology there. In other words, Jesus is saying, you know what, when you go out to the world, by the way, this just popped into my head. You know, there is something about going out and serving God. I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. There's something about going out and serving God, out from among the four walls here. There's something about that, and we're going to touch on that here in just a second. But Jesus says, when you do that, you're going to encounter evil men. And the men out there, he compares them to scorpions and serpents. And Jesus says, when these men behave like serpents and scorpions and they hiss, and they sting you, you'll be able to tread over them and the message will continue to go forth. Don't worry about it. You'll be able to proclaim my message. Now, the 70, man, if the devils are subject unto your name, wow, all of these miracles and all of the healing, the preaching, souls being saved, and all of these folks coming, repenting, and man, that's going to be something these guys are going to be able to tell their, that's going to be a lot of fun telling your grandkids about that. Let me tell you about this one time. When this evil, unclean spirit had this woman or this man in bondage, but in Jesus' name, they were made free. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine that? Amen. And no doubt the miracles performed by the 70 were very much appreciated, I'm sure. There were individuals that could not walk, brother, but now they could. Amen. There were individuals that could not see. Now they could. There were individuals that could not hear, but now they could. There were individuals that were not saved, but now they were. Amen. And so the 70 are rejoicing. Now it's interesting, the verse, the phrase where it says, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. I believe this is the only time we see this in the New Testament, where Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Now, if this is the only time, at least recorded for us, that Jesus rejoiced, why was he rejoicing? He was rejoicing, I believe, in one way, that he saw his followers value serving him. Jesus rejoiced in spirit because his followers valued serving him. And again, there's something about going out and serving him. I love being here. It's a blessing to come and sit and sing and fellowship. This is good, amen? A little bit of heaven on earth. But there's something about going out. And when Jesus saw that his followers valued going out to serve him, he rejoiced. Now, the rich and the educated and the sophisticated, you see, yes. The upper crust of society, yes. They mock those things. They ridicule people like us who rejoice to serve the Lord. Amen. They mock at that idea. Jesus rejoiced when he saw his followers value serving him and rejoice that they were able to serve him. And obviously, you and I ought to rejoice when we are given the privilege to serve him. Amen right there. It's such a blessing. Now, in verse number 20, when Jesus said, rejoice not, but rather rejoice, the Lord is not demeaning what the 70 did. He's not devaluing what they did. He's just saying, you guys are happy about that? Well, let me tell you about something that's better than that. Now, there's a scripture, I believe it's Proverbs 22:1, that says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And Jesus is telling the 70, they're like, whoa, the devils were subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus says, there's something better than that. Now, church, if you look at our text there, if you look at that verse, what do you think is better than that? In verse number 20, what is better? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, let's use our imaginations for just a minute. Think of a young man who maybe was possessed by multitudes of devils, but was made free by the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus says there's something better than that. According to verse number 20, what would be better about rejoicing about that? Look at verse number 20. You Bible scholars attending Institute, what did Jesus say? Come on now. Hey man, this is not, this. Listen, you know me, I am not deep, okay? This is not a deep, you're getting much deeper stuff. Brother Josh said, it's in depth, it's good. This is not mega in depth, amen, all right? So look at verse number 20. What's better than rejoicing about, more than having the devil subject unto you through his name? What's better than that? Salvation. Having our names written in salvation, brother, for the sinner to acquire it and for the saint to build upon it. Salvation is the better thing. Amen right there. Salvation is the greatest joy. To realize that you have been adopted into the family of God and now you walk among the royal and holy kindred of heaven. And that one day you will walk the streets with your Savior in heaven. Imagine that. And we can't really. The Bible says we cannot imagine that. But just try. And I can't really bring out those thoughts for us tonight. But just think about it for just a moment. You know what would really give most Christians joy is if we turn our eyes upon salvation tonight. It's Thanksgiving. Now, I know we're singing some Christmas songs. I don't hate you for that. Amen. It's a blessing. But listen, it's still November, brother. Amen. And I like to celebrate Thanksgiving all month long. Brother, whenever there's a holiday, celebrate the thing all month long. Amen. So turkey sandwiches and tamales all month long in November. Praise the Lord. Come on now, are you with me? You guys are scaring me. What are you talking about? Come on now. Can you imagine that? Every day of November? Come on. By the way, don't record this. Don't put this on the website. Turn it off. You know Brother Sal Garcia? His wife, Pat Garcia, makes now I love y'all, but she makes the most incredible salsa I've ever had in my life. And he brought some over to the house. Brother, it's gone. He brought it over yesterday afternoon. It's gone. Amen. Big old jar. Woo! Every day. Every day. All right. So it's the Thanksgiving season. We're going to be going into the holiday season. What I want us to do tonight for just a few minutes, listen, get your eyes on salvation tonight. Be thankful for your salvation tonight. Rejoice in your salvation. We're going to give you just a couple of reasons why you can rejoice and be thankful for salvation. Are you ready? Are you ready? Number one, look at verse number 20. Get your eyes on salvation, church. You can greatly rejoice in salvation. You need to be thankful, and I need to be thankful for salvation. Why? Because it's a personal salvation. Notice these words in verse number 20. Jesus says, because your name are written in heaven. Do you see how it's personal? Your name. Well, brother, when you were singing that song, I was thinking about that. My name! My name! It's personal. It's a personal salvation. And brother, let me just tell you this right now. There's no other kind of salvation. Right. It's personal. Now, Laura's much better with names than I am. Brother Francisco, I don't know any of the girls' names. Sorry. Francisco, I know young Francisco Jr. The girls, forget it. I love you, but forget it. I don't know. And this dear brother and his family, we were trying to remember. Catalina, Catarina, I don't know. I don't know. But there is something about saying, Dominic, good to see you, brother. Personal. Is your salvation like that? Personal. I remember Laura, her cousin was one of my best friends. And I would go to his house often, and I would see Laura's picture with her mom and brother on the wall there, and I would think, whoa, man, she's so pretty. I'd like to get to know her. We met each other in the 9th grade, but we really didn't start dating or anything like that until the 11th grade. Man, I remember that first date, Brother Clem. I don't remember the restaurant. Sorry, sweetheart. But I remember us getting to know each other. Oh, man, how exciting was that? It's personal. Salvation is personal. When Jesus knows you by name. You were talking about that song. He knows me by name. Go over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, look at verses 2 and 3. Well, we'll read verse 1 also. Verily, verily, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Church, listen, salvation is personal. There's no other kind of salvation. It's personal, and that's why I rejoice in it, and I'm thankful for it. Like one guy said not too long ago, God didn't say, hey, listen, I'll have my people call your people. No, it's personal. John 11:43, it says, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. It's personal. Luke chapter number 19, the Bible talks about a man named Zacchaeus. He wanted to see the Lord. He couldn't see him because of the crowd and so forth. And so he went up into a sycamore tree. And Jesus, when he passed by that way, looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to have some Mexican food at your house today. Amen. But seriously, it's personal. Church, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you bowed your knee in prayer and called on Jesus personally? Personally. By name. My name is written in heaven. And I pray your name is written in heaven. If your name is written in heaven, you can shout hallelujah tonight. It's a personal salvation. And there's no other kind. And I believe that Christians and churches and even our nation would be drastically different if the Christians had a personal salvation. I believe a lot of people claim they have salvation, Pastor, but it has never crossed the line and it's not personal. Think about that for just a moment. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, you know the scripture. He said, Christ loved me and gave himself for me. It's personal. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, I will be their God and they shall be my people. It's personal. Charles Spurgeon said, can you look up to heaven and say, my Lord and my God, mine by sweet relationship, mine by sacred fellowship. Can you by humble faith lay hold of Jesus' garment and say, my Christ? If you can, then God saith of thee, my people, because you are his choice. It's a personal salvation, and there's no other kind. That's why I can rejoice. And that's why you and I should rejoice tonight because of salvation. It's a personal salvation. Isn't that incredible? Now, let's go over to Isaiah chapter number 66, and we'll go into our next thought here tonight, Isaiah 66. I think our churches and our homes and marriages on and on, I think they would be absolutely and radically transformed if salvation was not so much impersonal, but became very personal. Amen right there. If it was not surface, but deeper, personal. Isaiah 66, and look at verse number 22. The Bible says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make," woo! Oh, wow. Wow, you want to park there for just a second. Amen. "As the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make," you need to write a little P on the side of that verse. That's a promise right there. All right? "Shall remain before me, saith the Lord." Notice, church, "so shall your seed and your name remain." So rejoice tonight. Rejoice over salvation. It's not just a personal salvation. Are you ready, church? Number two, it's a permanent salvation. Amen right there. I had my heart broken and my face slapped when someone told me the other day that they just found out their pastor does not believe in eternal security. And I thought, what? No, church, it's a permanent salvation. Look at verse number 20 back in our text. Jesus said, "Because your names are written in heaven." Whoa! You see that? Are written. Now, if we have English scholars in here, they will tell you that verb phrase, "are written." Miss Laura will tell you what kind of verb phrase. Put you on the spot. Are written. You know what that means, church? You probably ought to underline that, "are written." That means, brother, what has been written will stay written. Woo! That's good. Are you all right, church? This is good. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Back to the Old Testament, New Testament, to Hebrews chapter number 12. Man, this is good. I told you it's not deep, but it's good. Amen. Hebrews 12, verses 22 and 23 says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven." That is so good. Church, what has been written will stay written. Praise the Lord. Someone said this, I don't know who it was. They said, quote, "Just think, the mind of God, the heart of God, and the very hand of God came together to pen your name upon the heavenly records of divine salvation." Woo! Can I say that again? That blows my mind. Just think, the mind of God, the heart of God, and the very hand of God came together to pen your name upon the heavenly records of divine salvation. And you know what? God will not forget what He has written. Amen. He doesn't need a post-it note to put on his computer screen. Praise the Lord. It's not written in pencil. It's not written on a dry erase board. You know how that is, brother. You write something on the dry erase board and some brat kid comes by and says, and erases it. Amen. Not with God. Amen. It's permanent. Amen. What's been written is going to stay written. Praise the Lord. Revelation 21, 27 says, "Our names," quote, "are written in the Lamb's book of life." How precious beyond words to have our names permanently written there. Let's go back to, sorry, I should have told you to stay in Isaiah. Let's go back to Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 49. Wow. Brother Dominic sang that song tonight, and I was like, whoa. Isaiah 49, look at verses 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Ain't no way that's happening. But look at this, church. Yea, they may forget. Yet, I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. Think about those palms of Jesus Christ for just a minute. And to have your names there. Incredible. Now, the miracles that were done by the 70, I'm sure they were greatly appreciated. I mean, if you were blind, Brother Francisco, and then you were given sight, woohoo! You would appreciate that, amen. If you were bound in a wheelchair, you couldn't walk, but then you could walk. You could run, play golf, amen. Amen. Just think that you were sick and had disease, but then you were healed. And your health was restored. You would appreciate that. Amen. If I could have a little more hair. All right. Praise the Lord. That would be good. Amen. But just think about this for a moment. As exciting, as wonderful as that would be, what would happen to those eyes that were given sight? What would happen? Eventually, those eyes would close in death. Those ears that were given hearing would be silent or unhearing in the grave. The feet that were given strength to walk would lie motionless in the coffin of death. But salvation, on the other hand, because it is a permanent thing. By the way, that's permanent healing. That's permanent health. That's permanent sight. Salvation is permanent. And by the way, there's no other kind of salvation. It is a permanent salvation. And so we should rejoice tonight. Get your eyes on that. Spurgeon said, "That voice which called thee at the first shall call thee yet again to heaven. Rest assured, the heart of him who has justified thee beats with infinite love toward thee. Thou shalt soon be with the glorified where thy portion is, and the wings of angels shall carry thee far away to the mount of peace, where, far from a world of grief and sin, with God eternally shut in, thou shalt rest forever." I rejoice tonight. Church, rejoice. Be thankful for salvation. It's a personal salvation. Amen? It's a permanent salvation. And the last thought tonight, and we'll be done. It's a prestigious salvation. Notice these words in verse number 20. Jesus said, "Because your names are written," notice this short prepositional phrase, "in heaven." You can't get any more prestigious than that. We tell the story of when we were in Chicago and we were told, you've got to go to this world-famous pizza place, world-famous pizza place. And I've told the story, you know, I think might have said something to the Lord, this better be good, amen, because it's freezing. It's the Windy City, brother, and it was cold. It was like the end of March or April or something like that. It was freezing. The wind is blowing 75 miles an hour. It was like 4 degrees and stuff. And then we had to wait outside for 6.5 hours. Brother, I have to admit, don't put this on the website. I was like, this pizza better be good. Amen. It was okay. All right. But anyway, you go in, brother, and it was kind of dark. I don't like dark places anyway. So you go in and all the walls are dark. And then, but there's something interesting written, brother, on every single wall, on the ceilings, on the tables, everywhere. In white, what do you call that white stuff that you write? What's that white stuff called? White ink, I don't know what you call it. Anyway, so we had to find a white ink pen. And people from all over the world wrote their names and where they were from on all of the walls, ceiling, everywhere. And so we had to do our duty, amen, and put our names on there. Plus a gospel tract or a website or a Bible verse or something. I can't remember what we did now. But it's interesting. We have Facebook accounts because we want people to know our names. You were talking about that song, He Knows My Name. We want the whole world to know who we are. I'm Kevin Murdoch, And so we have a page for the whole world to know our name. Facebook, look at my face. Here I am. Look at me! Some people want a gajillion friends on Facebook. Some will just settle for having their names carved in a tree. Some people want their names printed in books. Some people want their names embossed on a very nice trophy. Some people want their names on a nice plaque right next to a very professional, beautiful-looking office door. Some people want their names put on memorials or engraven in stone on buildings. And Jesus says, that's nothing compared to having your names written. Nothing can compare to that. Why are we so self-centered and so self-absorbed about having our names on this dirt ball called earth when our names are written in heaven? You talk about prestige. People like to brag about where they're from. Jesus says, phooey on that. That's the KMV, the Kevin Murdoch version. Rejoice that your names are written. Think about that for just a minute. Heaven. Now, I can't. There's no way. And the Bible says we can't even grasp with our minds how great heaven is. But think about heaven for just a moment. Heaven. Now, there's a lot of wonderful things in heaven. God is in heaven. Think about that. God Himself is in heaven. Deuteronomy 3:24, Moses praying says, what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? 1 Kings 8:23, I have it right here. King Solomon said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven. Wow! Woo! There is a professor of medicine by the name of Zuniger. If I ever get a goldfish, Brother Dominic, I'm going to name him Zuniger. But this guy was apparently a genius, a professor of medicine at Basel in the 19th century. But although he was a genius, he was a simple-hearted believer. And these were his last recorded words. Remember, we're talking about God is in. His last recorded words were, quote, I rejoice. In other words, I'm thankful. Yea, my spirit leaps within me for joy that now the time at last has come when I shall see the glorious God face to face, whom I have by faith longed after and after whom my soul has panted. God is in heaven. It's a prestigious salvation, church. Are you with me? And by the way, there's no other kind. It's a prestigious salvation. Amen! Woo! That's so good. God is in heaven. The Bible says there is a temple in heaven, Revelation 11, 19. There is worship in heaven, Revelation 19, 1. There are armies in heaven, Revelation 19, 14. Our testimony is in heaven. That's awesome to think about how you got saved. Our testimony is in heaven, Job 16, 19. Our reward is in heaven. Man, woo! Matthew 5, 12. Our treasure is in heaven, Matthew 5, 20. There's joy in heaven when one sinner repents, Luke 15, 7. there are riches in heaven. Hebrews 10:34. There's a future country in heaven. Philippians 3:20. There's a future family in heaven. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 16. Last scripture and we're done. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter and we're done. 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice, church, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So there is a future inheritance in heaven for you and for me. How amazing beyond words to have our names written in heaven. It's the Thanksgiving season. And I know that sometimes during the holidays, folks can get very sad and depressed because of things that have happened in their lives. But you know what, church? No matter what has happened or what will happen, if our names are written in heaven, we can not only be thankful, but rejoice. And if we have that personal, permanent, and prestigious salvation, let's just not keep it to ourselves. Amen. Let's be like the 70 and take it to the world. Amen. Let's pray.